I invite you to take the Word of God with me this evening and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm thankful as always for the opportunity to preach tonight. I will preface this message as I did, I preached this, I guess a couple of months back now in our chapel setting in our school, but I'll preface this with just kind of my heart behind this message, kind of where it was born from. This is one of those issues that is just been continually on my mind. It's continually in great need to be spoken about because it is permeating every area of our society. And so as I began to think through things, and Mr. Bradford and I had several conversations about this specific topic, and as we just had the desire to present some things to the young people as far as how they navigate through media as a whole. And when I started this, I was going to preach on social media, just that specific topic. And as you got into it and looking through it, media really affects so many more areas than just social media. And we'll deal with some of that tonight. And I'll go ahead and apologize to the teachers that are in here tonight that have already heard this and they're sitting through it for the second time. It probably won't be any better than the first. And there's some teens in here too that have already heard this. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll try to be quick. I'm lying. If I say I'll be quick, I won't be quick, but I'll try not to be too long. Amen. I already prefaced that with some of the children's workers this evening. Let's begin, though, tonight. And really, this I cannot be exhaustive in this tonight. I don't have time. As broad as this topic is and as far-reaching as it goes. And so we'll really give just kind of a general guideline and really deal with some biblical principles that we can apply to media in all of our lives. And I hope it'll be a help not only to those who are parents, if you're parenting kids now at home that are young, all the way through teenage college years, and maybe even kids that are out of your home, but for grandparents, for young adults as well that will be parents one day, and just how this is affecting us in so many different ways in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, if you look there with me, verse number 1, I'll read through the first 16 verses of this chapter just to kind of set the stage of where we're looking at and just kind of our mindset behind this message tonight. But let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And tonight I hope that God will bless the reading of his word and bless our thoughts as we walk through this topic on media from a biblical perspective. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Our Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. We thank you for giving us the revealed Word of God. And we thank you that it not only applies to a certain time or a certain people group, but Lord, there is truth here that applies to all people in all times, in all places, in all situations that life may present to us. And Lord, we pray that we would be good stewards of what you've given us in the Word of God, that we would walk through it, that it would guide our steps, that it would guide our decisions, even as new areas arise day in and day out in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, help us to see the importance of this, not only for us individually, but for our children and those that will come on in future generations, Lord, may we be the guide, the light that helps the next generation come along and make wise decisions in this area. Lord, I pray that you protect that one tonight that has fallen in this area. And Lord, that you would bring them back into fellowship with yourself. And Lord, that you would restore them, Lord, to fellowship with you. Lord, help those that do have a struggle to ask for help in these areas. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for it. Would you bless this time that we have this evening? In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Well, it's undeniable that tech, and I'll just use those types of phrase. I'm not trying to be hip or modern when I use those phrase, but we could literally just take hours upon hours describing all the different type of technology that is out there and is available to us. But it's for sure that tech is here and it's here to stay. We're not going to get rid of it. I was recently watching a documentary, and I'll reference this documentary multiple times tonight, but I would encourage you to watch it if you haven't already, to watch it if you have older children, to watch it with them, because it would be a great eye-opener to a lot of the things that are out there technology-wise. But the name of the documentary, I'm going to give you a ton of stuff to write down tonight. I will have a lot of slides as well to show you, so to be there for you on the screen. But this documentary that you should watch is called The Social Dilemma. And maybe many of you have already watched it. It comes from a very humanistic standpoint. It was done by the world, obviously, so it's not going to have a Christian slant to it or a Christian perspective. But it has a lot of very valuable information that I believe every individual should know for themselves and for their children. It's found on Netflix, and I know most of us have probably had our stomach full of Netflix at this point, but if you have some way to watch it on there, I'd encourage you to do that. You could probably find it through YouTube and other avenues as well, but it's a great documentary that shows a lot of things that are going on in the tech industry as it relates to our modern-day culture. But as I was watching that and as I was preparing for this message, I started thinking of all the areas that technology has advanced. And one statement that stood out to me on that documentary was the rapid rate with which technology has increased over the last 5 to 10 years. It's really almost an unscalable number that they give you as far as how fast technology has grown in the last 5 to 10 years, like somewhere near like 1,000,000% over a short span of time. Nothing else in history that I'm aware of and that they were aware of on the documentary has increased at that exponential rate. It is being supersonic fed into everything that is around us, and it has increased in its capability, in its storage, its memory, all those types of things. Those of you that are in the world could probably back up a lot of that, a lot of what I'm saying on that. So it's here to stay. And now the question is, how are we going to manage? How are we going to deal with this in modern day culture? And I know there are a vast array of perspectives and a vast array of opinions about how that should be done in Christian circles. But I want to give you some things tonight that I hope will be a help to you as far as believers and how we can look at these things biblically and make wise decisions from God's Word on media in our lives. A 2018 Pew Research Center survey, they surveyed nearly 750 13 to 17-year-olds. They found in that survey that 45% of them were online almost constantly, and 97% of them use social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or Snap. Before we as adults think that we get off the hook on that, they also went on to survey adults, and the average adult is found to spend 650 minutes a day on a mobile internet usage of some kind. And so that could be very wide-ranging. You have about, depending on how long you stay up, and you may stay up way too late, and so your graph would be a lot bigger, but you have on average about 1,000 minutes a day. So 650 of those minutes, the average adult spends on their device doing something. And so there's a lot of statistics that I'll throw at you tonight just to kind of back up what we're talking about. But one of these is, and this is a very eye-opening thing, and I apologize that this graph is not clearer than it is, but in 2010, the average American, or the statistic says there was only 20.2% of America that had a smartphone device. Only 20.2% of all Americans had a smartphone. Today, that number has gone up to 72.2% of Americans have a smartphone. It's believed to go up just a few points there in 2021. And so you see the exponential rate that this is growing and how it has just really taken over mainstream America and how it is just aggressively taking place. So let's walk through some of these things tonight. I think it's important that we teach our children that we should have a biblical worldview. Meaning, and you may ask, what do I mean by that? It's an understanding that the Bible applies to all areas of our life. And I believe that's our responsibility as parents, first and foremost, and we should live that way ourselves, that everything that approaches us in the world, we should look at it through a biblical point of view. That's backed up by 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as we walk through some of these things, I would encourage us to think along those paths. Do we have a biblical point of view on some of these areas, or do we need to kind of ratchet some of those things up in our life? So as we walk through this, first of all, what is the impact on my life? And I think there's a lot of things that back this up of what the impact is on my life and on the lives of our children that are coming along. The first one, physically. What's the impact on us physically? The average teen spends 9 hours and 45 minutes a day on various media outlets. In 2015, 34% of teens were watching videos daily. That number is now up to 69%. I thought it was interesting that they made note on the resource that I got of that number is only beaten by the amount of time young people spend listening to music day in and day out. And folks, God created our bodies in such a way that they are supposed to get a certain amount of activity and a certain amount of exercise. And nobody likes that word exercise, especially not this time of year, as all the sweet things are around. But God says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You know, I think there is a great harm being done extensively, physically, in the lives of not only young people, but adults as well, as we walk through these areas of social media. There's a neat thing that they've now put on iPhone. I'm not sure if they're on Android and other devices because I only use superior devices such as Apple. I'm just kidding. If you have an Android, I'm just teasing you, but Apple's still better. But they have a neat thing on there where you can go and you can look in the settings and you can track your screen time. If you really want to feel bad about yourself, do that. Go check how much screen time you spent last week. It's really amazing and eye-opening. It'll kind of start charting your day and seeing how much time is spent on social media devices. But not only the impact physically, but the impact emotionally. And I don't want to deal with this one for just a few moments because it's a big one. Studies have shown that interaction on social media does nothing to lessen the feeling of loneliness, but greatly increases it. So, I am not a psychologist. I never claim to be one. I don't even know that I know one. But they tell me that emotionally, so let's use Instagram, Facebook as a model for this idea that we're talking about. Emotionally, they tell us that Instagram and Facebook, so if I were to post a selfie of myself, which I better not say I've never done it, but if I have, it was maybe once, and it was with one of my kids, which doesn't count, okay? But let's say that I posted a selfie of myself, and I placed it on social media. Psychologists tell us that if somebody were to go on there and they were to give me a positive comment to that photo that I had placed, it would do very little to increase the feeling of loneliness or to better the feeling of loneliness if they made that positive comment. But on the flip side, if they made a negative comment, it would do a great deal to increase the feeling of loneliness. So I want us to think about that aspect of it. And I think I have a graph here on this one as well. And again, this isn't extremely clear on the screen, but in 2009, all social media became available on smartphones. So that was the first year that they made Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google, all those types of things. Abel, if we could take these lights down just a tad bit up here, that might help us see that a little bit better. But in 2009, this is when social media became available on a mobile device. So you see that they have charted here, and this is per 1 million girls ages 15 to 19. The rate between 2009 and this graph goes to 2018, it went up 70% in suicide rates from 2009 to 2018. And as a dad and a youth pastor, I have a hard time even getting this one out. The one that really hurt me and really got to me was how young it started. That ages 10 to 14, from 2009 to 2018, that went up 151%. And that's speaking a little bit to what the studies show as far as the emotional impact that social media has. Because I want you to know, and teenagers don't get mad at me when I say this, but young people thrive off of validation. They thrive off of being affirmed with who they are, with affirmation. And dads, can I challenge you? If you've got a young girl at home, you better be giving her the affirmation that you should as a father, because if you're not, there's a guy out there that's going to, and he's going to give it to her in a negative sense. And I don't mean to be harsh when I say that, but it's just the reality. Young people need affirmation. It's not a bad thing to give affirmation to your young people when they're doing a good job at something, or to give your children affection in those areas because they're starving for it. And the comparison here of the suicide rates from 2009 to 2018, I think, is very telling to what's going on in our society with this. But then this is another one. This is per 100,000 girls from, again, that date in 2009 to 2000. I believe this one goes out to 2015. It went up 62% between ages 15 and 19, and it went up 189% among girls 10 to 14. And this is non-fatal self-harm. So that could be a wide-ranging type of thing that they were checked into a hospital for. But it went up that exponentially just during that short time frame. And again, can I just put a plug in here again for parents? Know what your kids are doing online. Why? But when it comes to technology, what I have found over the course of being a youth pastor, and I'm really being extremely transparent here tonight, and I'm not going to offend you by saying this, but what I've seen over the last 10 years of working with young people is that in this area of technology, many, many parents feel like they get a pass when it comes to technology as far as their understanding of it because they don't understand it. And so it almost seems that as if some parents become the mindset of, well, because I don't understand it, just let the kids have it, it keeps them happy, let them use that, but they never educate themselves on what's going on those types of devices. Can I encourage you, don't have that mentality with your young people. Investigate what they're doing online. So it's a great harm to them emotionally. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to encourage our young people in this area as it affects them emotionally, but then also relationally. And I'll try to speed up on these. What is our communication like with others through media? Adults, I'll ask you that, as well as the young people that I would ask. There's some kind of disconnect that takes place when I type something on my phone versus when I say it with my mouth. Now, I know I've met certain of you that are as sarcastic when you type as you are in person, and I like that. I am that type of person, and I like to have banter back and forth with individuals that are that way, and I won't speak any of those individuals' names at this time. But I like to have those back and forth. But it's a great question for us to ask is, what is our communication like with others through social media outlets? But another area of this that is greatly affecting young people and children as a whole is I found that the more and more that technology advances and more that it's being used, the less young people are able to communicate effectively in person. This was never more apparent to us than to my wife and I than when we served in our church in Georgia. We had just been there, been married a couple of years. We were still early on in our time working with the young people, and we had a young lady come and visit our youth group, and we had never met her before. She was a friend of somebody else that came. We were trying to get to know her. I honestly can't remember her name now. She only came for a short time. But she came in, she was there for the whole night. We talked to her, got her name, all those types of things, and tried to interact with her, but she had very little to say. I mean, a word here, a word there. I say to the guys on my basketball team, too, answer me in a sentence. Don't answer me with, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. That's what I get all the time. Like, no, speak in a sentence. You can do it. But that's what she was doing to us, just giving us one word answers here and there. Well, we went throughout the night. We wrapped everything up. I couldn't tell if she had a good time, if she'd ever be back, if she was scared to death of us. I couldn't get any kind of read on her. She left, and it wasn't too long after we had dropped the kids off. We had driven the church van around, dropped them off. Before my wife and I even got home, our phone started just blowing up. I mean, one message after another, just ding, 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 ding. And it was this girl that had just been to our youth group and had said a word here and there. And she was writing us a book on text messages. Oh, I love tonight. It was so great. Thanks for making me feel so welcome. I mean, just thing after thing after thing. And that's when it dawned on me, kids are greatly affected by learning their communication skills only through devices. And I know every child's not that way, and I'm not painting everybody into a corner, but it can affect us greatly relationally as we communicate with one another. And so God says here as well, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So it affects us not only relationally, but also spiritually. Let me ask you the question, and I have to be honest with myself on this one. When's the last time that tech of some kind didn't affect you greatly in your spiritual life? When's the last time that it didn't influence your spiritual life in a great way? And you say, okay, what do you mean? Now, I know we had the debate this week, Miss Tammy and I, of whether you should read your Bible on a phone or on an iPad, or if it should only be from the written text, okay? We're not going to have that argument tonight. We'll let Pastor settle it tomorrow in the office for us, and then he can preach a message about it and tell us all what we got to do, okay? But my argument for her, I'll just tell you my argument for her, was I asked her, what was the original commandments that God gave to Moses written on? And she said, stone. I said, but what was it called? And she said, a tablet. I said, my case is settled, okay? So I thought it was a pretty good argument. It was a joke I'd already heard, but I reused it, and it worked again. But seriously, when's the last time that tech did not interrupt your spiritual life in some way? I don't know, maybe I'm just a weak Christian and it only happens to me, but every time it seems that I sit down to read my Bible, something goes off. I have a notification, the phone rings, I get a text. My kids are doing something in the other room with a device, or they've got the TV on. There's just constant chaos that comes from technology. And I don't think it has to be this way. We're going to give some things later that can be a helpful resource for us. But we must know that it does have an impact on us spiritually. Ephesians 16 that we read tonight, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So it affects us greatly in all of those areas, but the last, and I failed to mention this on the last point. Let me get it in here really quickly. Relationally. So I found this very interesting. Employers posted this, and young people will ask me all the time because they hear this as a theory, does my social media presence affect a future job opportunity? So I got curious in looking this up, and it does. And so there's a whole list of things when businesses were asked about this, more than 50% of employers reported finding information on social media profiles that resulted in not hiring a candidate. I think we got to be very transparent with our kids and very informative with them that once they post something on the internet, it never goes away. They think, okay, I deleted it, it's gone. A simple search, and all of that old data just comes right back up. But here were some of the highlights of things they found that caused them not to hire an individual. The first one was a provocative or inappropriate post or information, drinking or using drugs, discriminatory comments related to race, gender, or religion, bad-mouthing their previous company or fellow employee, lying about qualifications, poor communication skills, links to criminal behavior, shared confidential information from previous employers, or my personal favorite here, unprofessional screen name or handle. That applies to so many that I know. Lied about an absence or posted too frequently, also a common problem. And so 50% of employers said they found one of these things that caused them not to hire someone. We do this here in our school. When anybody runs for office, we go check their social media page. And we see what they have posted. And we're not trying to be the social media police by any means, but it reveals a great deal about someone's heart by what they post. So it is a great effect relationally and spiritually. So the big question, what do I do? And I know parents are sitting here saying, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a hammer to every device in my home, and I'm going to smash it to bits, and then they can't use it anymore. Hold on, don't go to that extreme just yet. Let's keep moving through this. All right, the first thing I think is, and there's a couple of these, we need to understand the benefits. There are benefits, and I believe that God has allowed us to live in an amazing age. Can you imagine that right now, and I'm not saying they're going to, but right now, people could listen to this message all over the world. Right now. And again, they'll turn it on, see me, not pastor, turn it back off. It's okay. But right now, we have the ability for this to go out everywhere into the world. That's an amazing age to live in. I tell our young people all the time, this is a great time to be alive. This is a great time as a believer to be alive, because it does not take a whole lot to stand out for Christ in our current culture. We can stand out like a sore thumb for the Lord Jesus Christ right now because of all of the things that are going on in our society. So the first benefit, though, is communication with family. I think this is great. I don't have to sit down and pen a letter to grandma that will take 2 weeks to get there in the mail, or it may never make it if the U.S. No, I'm not even going to go down that rabbit trail. I will not. I refuse. All right? But communication with family, it can be so much faster now. And Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know what? I enjoy the fact that I can pull out my cell phone, I can hit a couple of buttons, and I can call my sister and brother-in-law and my nieces and nephew that live in Bangkok or right outside of Bangkok, Thailand. It's not right outside. It's like an hour outside. But I can't say the name of the village that they live in correctly. So they live in Thailand. But I appreciate the fact that I can pick that up, and I can not only call them, but I can see them, and I can interact with them face to face. That is a wonderful thing and a wonderful benefit of technology. But also, another benefit is it can be an encouragement to others. Now, I know I gave you the statistic earlier that it does very little to lessen the feeling of loneliness, but I believe we can be an encouragement to other people through the technology that God has given us, even if it's a phone call to someone else. But God says here, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So another benefit is not only that, but an opportunity to share the gospel. There are several different facets of our church right now that are working on video projects that we're going to send out through different social media and other types of platforms to get the gospel out. We live in a very unique time in our nation's history. And a burden of mine right now is that greatly our witness has been affected by all of this that's going on in our society. We now live in a country that is a great deal of the people around are fearful to even come up and communicate with you face to face. It greatly limits what we can do effectively to share the gospel with other individuals. But God has given us the technology to share the gospel all over the world. And the Lord says there in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so I think that's another benefit here of technology. But then secondly, not only understanding the benefits, but we've got to understand the burden. And there's quite a few burdens that come along with technology. The first one is we have to be prepared for a lot of time to be wasted. We have to guard against that. And I'll reference this documentary I mentioned at the beginning again, there where Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. One of the reasons I think it's very necessary for you to watch the documentary is because it shows a lot of the science behind and the kind of the strategy behind the way that certain tech, I'll call them tech giants or the large tech corporations, why they use what they use and kind of how they target certain demographics and regions to keep you pulled in. And it was very concerning to me watching it as it walked through, because it walked through the life of a young person and just the sway over them that their device had, and the way that phones have now become more like a magnet that tries to draw young people in. And I don't know if you've been in this situation, but I have gone literally to do something on my phone, gotten distracted with something else on it, gone to something else, and before I knew it, I looked up and I'd been on it for a half hour, 45 minutes, and never realized that the time had gone by that quickly. And it can become a huge time waster if we're not careful of that. But also, not only understanding the burden about time wasting, but it's very self-focused, especially social media. God says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, I don't find too much on social media that is not self-focused. I would say the majority of it that is on there is self-focused. It's all promoting, I did this, I did this, I did this. And if we're not careful, we will forget who we are supposed to be representing and have all the focus on ourselves. I talked about young ladies especially needing the affirmation of their parents. But I think as adults, we are very prone to desiring that type of affirmation from our friends and that type of validation from our friends as much as young people are. And if I could encourage you tonight, if you are looking for the affirmation to come from other people, you're going to be greatly disappointed. And I think we must build definite barriers in our life about this self-focus that social media brings about, but also the slander and gossip. It's rampant among social media and different things. It's sad to see, especially during COVID time, I've been noticing this as I watch different church services around the country. As we're on different time zones than other places, I'll watch some other church services as well. But it's sad to see that on most of them now, if they're on YouTube, they've turned the comment section off. And after watching one church service where they didn't do that at a certain location, I understood why. Because the slander and the gossip was just rolling the entire time that the message was going underneath the board. And I would hope as believers that we would not do that, but we must govern that in our lives. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we must understand the burden that is there with slander and gossip. And this is the one I was dreading to get to, but it's one that permeates this in such a extensive area. It's a huge issue in our nation. I did not come across the right statistical chart that I was looking for on this, and so I'm going off memory a little bit on it, so I won't get the percentage quite right. But if you've heard of the organization Covenant Eyes, they did a survey and a statistical search on this, and it was found that even in churches, about 50% of the men in Christian churches today have an issue with pornography and have an issue with looking at inappropriate images and scenes. And it's sad to see. And they even had a very stark, and I won't even give you the number because I can't remember it. They had a statistical number there for men that were in the ministry that had trouble with pornography or trouble looking at inappropriate things. And that is burdensome on the adult level, but I think we have to start thinking about this, unfortunately, earlier and earlier and earlier than we ever have in history, probably. It used to be that if you wanted to look at something inappropriate, you would have to go out in public, be brave about it, go into a store, buy something, walk out with it in your hand, and nobody else would be the wiser other than the people that were in that store, but it was still a much more public display that you had to put on. Now, literally with just the click of a button in the wrong way, hours and hours and hours and hours of it can be found quite easily. The Bible says here, it's very clear in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. If I could speak to the young people that are in here, especially the young men, for just a moment, don't justify something that you look at and say, well, it's not that bad. Because not that bad is not a good spiritual guideline for any area of your life. But as I have dealt with, and unfortunately I have dealt with way more than I want to of individuals that have had this problem, and it always starts with a minute thing and a justification of it's not that bad. But it's an enormous burden that happens with media and digital media as a whole, social media as a whole, whereas now even where we feel like we're in safe zones, such as Instagram, Facebook, and immediately our eye gate can be greatly affected by what we see, even if it's by accident, it can be there. And we must be very, very guarded about this. I'll give you a few things here, and these are troubling, I know, and I apologize for that, but I felt like it was important to note these. It says nearly 27% of teens, and this is as of 2018, receive sext. And if you don't know what that is, I can tell you after the service because I don't want to go into too much detail about it here, but around 15% of them are sending them. 57% of teens search out pornography at least monthly. And that's a staggering statistic. 51% of male students and 32% of female students first viewed indecent images before their teenage years. The first exposure to pornography among men is 12 years old on average. 71% of teens hide, and this is a staggering thing to me, and it should be worrisome for those of us that have young people. 71% of teens hide online behavior from their parents. 71%. That's a staggering number. And as you walk through this, and young people, again, if I can encourage you, and I'm going to give you some helps later, some resources later that can help with this, can help guard against this. But if I could just, and guys, men as a whole, we need to be very careful about this as well and have an accountability set up with our spouse where that be appropriate. This is a huge situation that is going on and a huge pitfall that can happen in the life of any individual. But especially young people, and it's again, it's staggering how early all of this is happening. And I think if we went back, and I won't take the time to do it, but looked at the chart again of when social media and those types of things became available on mobile devices, if we could chart all of that that has happened in the last 10 to 12 years, we would see a trend that all of these things are getting so much earlier and earlier in the lives of our young people because of the easy accessibility that is there. And folks, I'm going to say this as pointedly but as kindly as I can. Most of that falls directly on their parents. Most of it. Now, each individual has to make their own choice, but most of that falls on the parent because oftentimes, again, in this area, parents say, well, I don't understand it. I don't know what they're on. I don't know what they're doing. I'm just going to trust them that they'll make the right decision. And that's, unfortunately, a lot of times the way things like these statistics that we're looking at tonight, the way they begin. But also, in what do I do? Understand the beliefs, okay? And when I say beliefs, it just went with the rest of the outline. It was it was alliterated. So understand the practices, okay? The beliefs or the practices. First is be humble. We must teach our young people early to be humble. I talked about that in the self-focused area. Teach your young people early on that when it comes to social media, that they are humble before everybody that sees that, but especially before Almighty God. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I get concerned when I see young people with Instagram or Facebook pages that look like a monument that's set up in their honor of all the great things they've done in their life. We've got to be careful about that. We are setting up young people, and that so much of this is driven by Hollywood, and it's driven by professional athletes and all of these things, that everything has to be about them, and everything has to be about building their brand, and everything has to be about making them more money. And young people fall into this trap where they think, well, to be socially accepted, I've got to build myself up on social media devices. But that's not at all a biblical point of view. Also, be real. I can't tell you how many times that I run across certain things that I see on social media, and I'm like, that's not right. That's not real. That's not factual. And I think we must teach our young people, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You don't have to be like the world. You don't have to build yourself up to be something that you're not. Just be real and transparent. And then also be accountable. And I think this is the deal. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I had several young men that until the time they got married, I was their accountability partner. And we were set up on Covenant Eyes, which we use here in our school for all of our iPads that go out to our young people. It's a very good monitoring system and a safety net. Although, young people, again, you think we're all dumb, but we know you know ways to get around it. All right? And so at the end of the day, when we set up safeguards, if young people still decide to go around that, that's a personal choice that they're going to be held accountable to with Almighty God. But an accountability partner, I believe, is one of the best ways that young people and adults likewise can keep themselves out of difficult situations when it comes to media, is to just have somebody else that's going to check over what you are doing online, on any type of media. So understanding that, what do I do? Okay, what do I do as a parent? And you're like, man, I just want to leave now. You've depressed me. This is a terrible society that we're raising our children in. Lord, please come quickly. And we all say that and could say that, amen. Lord, please come, and we won't have any of these issues. But while we're here, I believe there are some ways that can help. And at this point, I'm going to interject and I usually don't do this, but I'm going to interject a opinion, okay? And this is just me. And if you disagree with me on this, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, and I'm not going to be offended. And this is to each parent their own decision, but I'm just going to give you my opinion about this. Many people will say, okay, I'm not going to give my young person a tablet, a phone, any type of device until they're 18, until they're out of the home, or until they're much, much older. I'm not going to give them any of that. I understand the logic behind that, and I don't necessarily agree because, again, you know your child better than anybody because you live with them day in and day out. You know their weaknesses. You know their strengths. But Dr. Rand Hummel, and I would encourage you, if you have time, to go to YouTube and watch his message, The Dark Side of the Internet. And he gives a lot of staggering statistics, but a great deal of help as well for parents trying to raise their kids in this culture that we live in today. But I heard him make this statement, and it stuck with me early on. This was before I even had kids of my own. I think it might have even been while I was a teenager when he preached this message. But he talked about it. He said, okay, do I want my child for the first time to ever have a cellular device or an iPad or anything like that, a laptop, whatever the case may be, do I want the first time that they have their own device to be when they no longer live in my home under my influence? Or would I prefer for the first time that they get a device, for it to have safeguards on it, for it to have built-in things that help protect them, but it's under my tutelage and my guidance as a parent, as in every other area of their life, I am guiding them and directing them on how they should properly use it. And personally, as I have viewed young people and viewed the two different things, I kind of agree with Dr. Rand on that. And again, it's up to each parent their decision. And you have to know when that time is for your young person. It may be different as it goes family to family. It may be different the age, the specific age that you give it to them. But it's much better sometimes for us to be able to direct them of how to use something than to say, okay, you're 18, you're going to college. It was a little bit like the day before I went to college, and suddenly my mom and I both realized I had no idea how to do my own laundry. I was 18, I don't think I'd ever done my own laundry yet. She said, okay, come to the basement. You're about to get a crash course in how to do laundry, which, as most 18-year-old young men, I heard about 1% of it, and the rest of it I was like, okay, I'll this the first time, so it didn't matter if it was dark, whites, anything. They were getting washed together because the more loads you did, the more money it cost, and I never had anything turn out pink that wasn't supposed to be, so I made it through college on that. But a lot of times that's our mentality on a lot of things that are going to come at our young people in life. Oh, they're not ready for that yet. We'll wait till they're older. But when they're older and they're gone out of your house, you no longer have that same influence day in and day out that you have now of where you could guide and lead them through it. So this is my encouragement as parents, and at whatever stage you start this at with your kids, or maybe grandparents, you're going to help and help your grandkids with some of these things while they're over and you're babysitting them. You're like, what do I do? They have tablets and things to do. Here's my encouragement for you. First of all, be patient. Be very patient. I have seen parents with devices and the kids are doing something with it, and they just, I mean, they grip that thing until it's about to break, and they're just frustrated, and the kid's saying, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to watch this. Okay, here, and just take it. I got a laugh back there, thank you. But I'm sorry, I caused the second laugh. That was my fault. But be patient with them. Be patient with yourself. Be patient to learn along the way. Let's put it in this analogy. If your employer walked in tomorrow morning and said, okay, I have nobody to run this brand new department, and I need you to run it, and you said, but I don't know anything about this department, would it be an acceptable answer for you to say, sorry, sir or ma'am, I know nothing about that, so I don't want to do it? Well, no. Our employer is going to look at us and say, okay, find another job then, and I'll find somebody that wants to do it. No, a lot of times in that area, we're going to say, okay, I need training. I need to understand what's going on, but we're going to learn. Another one is be proactive. Don't wait on this. And I encourage you, some of you are already saying, well, it's too late for me. My kids are all teenagers, are all almost out of the house. You can still be proactive now. You say, and I thought of this on the drive over this afternoon. You say, my kids don't have any problems with any of these things. Number one, they probably do, and you just don't know it if they're on a device at all. And I know that sounds harsh for me to say that, but number two, don't wait until they have a problem to put some safeguards in place. When our children were toddlers, we didn't wait until we saw the car getting really close to them and was going to hit them to proactively keep them away from danger. And some of you moms, the dads are like, well, I would do that. But moms, they're like, no, we wouldn't do that. You would proactively go and take care of them. We need to do that with our young people as well. Be proactive about some of these safeguards that you can put in place. And I'm going to give you a list of them here at the end of things that I hope will be a help to you. But then also be purposeful. Be careful about just making blanket statements. I'll use this as an analogy. When your child says, why do I have to do that? And you say, because I said so. Young people hate that. We hate that. When somebody says, hey, it has no reason that has been defined to me by anyone, but just do it because I said so. Now, I know the military folks in here are like, well, that's the way my whole military career has been. And I understand that, all right? But as far as a parent goes, as we like information and know, why am I doing this? Why is this important? Let's be purposeful in how we parent our kids of this is why. This is why you can't have your phone in your bedroom. This is why your computer can't be in your bedroom. This is why this can't be this way. And explain to them the dangers that are there and say, this is why we're doing this. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And again, that's a lot of the mentality behind the opinion that I gave you at the beginning of when to give your kids a device or something of that nature of, while you have the opportunity still to train them is a great time, I believe, to start testing the waters with that. And again, hey, if nothing else, I think Pastor said this in a message once talking about phones. If nothing else, it gives you something to take away when they're in trouble. It's like, oh, phone's gone. We might use that in school occasionally. Oh, your phone's out. Oh, it's mine. Your parents are going to have to come pick it up. But as a parent, these are the areas that I would encourage you in. Be patient, be proactive, but be purposeful in how you train your young people as they walk through this. Let me give you a list of these Oh, I'm actually doing better than I thought. Let me give you a list of helpful resources that I hope will be a blessing to you. And there are so many of these, you're really going to have to just walk through this list and pick what you want to use, because a lot of these do the same thing. They just might do them a little bit differently. So the first one, this is not cliche, use the Bible in your home. I encourage you to do that. You know, one of the most frustrating things for me as a youth pastor is to look at a 17 or 18-year-old young person and say, okay, you're going to make this decision that you're telling me about. What's the Bible say about it? And they just stare at me. Well, I don't know. And I say, well, go look. If we're going to have a biblical worldview, then you ought to know what God says about this certain situation. Now, I'm thankful for the ones that tell me right off, well, I think it applies to this area. But so use the Bible, and as you go through even the social media and the media as a whole, use the Bible to help guide you and your family into these decisions. But then also, and I've already mentioned this a couple of times, is Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes has different tiers of memberships that you can take, and it ranges from everything of how many devices can be on it to what it does. Some of them, the ones that I have been on with individuals before, it will send me a detailed email weekly of everything that they viewed. And you know what I found? I got a spam inappropriate thing on their spam. It's not spam. Abel would have to help me with the word of this, but a drop down as they were looking at something else, and it was inappropriate. It was not something they looked for, but it tagged it in Covenant Eyes. And as soon as it happened, I haven't even got the report yet, and the young man was on the phone calling me saying, look, I was not looking at this. It just came up as a drop down. I mean, he was on it right off the bat, but he knew, hey, Brother Kyle's going to look at this later. I don't want him to think that I actually was looking at this. So it does provide a great level of accountability there for them. It will do other things. It will filter like a firewall. They won't be able to go to certain websites that have certain ratings on them, and you can set all of that as the parent, what you want the levels to be of things that they can go to. So it's a very beneficial thing. But then also, this is called The Circle, and this is by Disney. And this is amazing that they even have this, because you think it would go against what Disney's motivation would be, which is to make money with Disney Plus and all those things that they provide now. This is literally a device. It's about yay big, and they have greatly improved this from the time that it originally came out. When it originally came out, it was a box. It was about this big, and it was huge. It was ugly, and it took up a lot of space wherever you put it. But now it's about this size. It's no bigger than an Alexa device or anything like that. You plug it in, connect it to your router. You download the app for it, and you can go into every device that uses your internet, and you can set what it can see. You can set what time it's disabled, and you can walk through it and really just kind of customize exactly what you want the viewing to be. And this, I mean, it works on TVs, every type of device. If it's a mobile device, it even works when it's not on the Wi-Fi at home. So you can really monitor all of it. And the young people are cringing while I'm saying all of this. But you can monitor it, all of it. And again, talk through with them why you're doing it, not just because you're being the overlord parent that says, ha, 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 I have the control, which I might have been known to do at our home occasionally when I turn my daughter's Alexa off from my room with my phone just to mess with her. I just turn the volume off so she can't hear it. But anyway. I thought you would think that was funnier, but anyway, okay. Another one, commonsensemedia.org. This is not a Christian website, so it's not, you're going to have to use discernment as a parent of what, you're going to have to take everything with a grain of salt that you read on here, but it will give you age-appropriate, what their age-appropriate guidance are for, like, movies, television shows, those types of things. But again, it's coming from a world's perspective, so it may not exactly be accurate, but it at least gives you an idea of what to, it'll tell you, it'll literally go in so far as to tell you how many curse words and what they are in every movie that you want to click on there that they have. So you can literally walk through it and be like, oh, nope, 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 just by the language that's used in the movie. So it gives you a lot of important information. axis.org. This is a Christian-based company as well, and it's much like Circle and Covenant Eyes, where you can go and set up types of filtering and customization and things. It just comes at it from a little bit different perspective, but you can check their website out, and gives a lot of helpful information. The parentq.org, my memory serving me correctly, this one is not a Christian-based one as well, but it keeps up with all current information for parents of things that are going on currently. So as things change technology-wise, they'll put little blogs and informational things on there that you can keep up with if you want to. You can sign up for a newsletter from them, and it will send you pertinent information along those lines. Then the sourceforparents.com, this one's helpful in a lot of areas as it gives information as well. And then just as simply as built-in safeguards on phones and tablets. So you can go to your settings in your child's phone, and there's built-in things already that you can use to filter, to limit screen time, all of those types of things. If any of you, okay, let me say, I should have said this at the beginning. If you want any of this information on this PowerPoint, let me know. I'll email it to you. You can have anything off of it you like. None of this is new to me. This is all stuff that's out there that you can research. Covenant Eyes does a great job of posting a lot of articles about different things that you can get help with as a parent. So let's pray. I know this is a different type of message. This is a lot of information, and it's a little bit like a lecture. But folks, I cannot express enough how much this is rampant in our society. I cannot tell you how much this is affecting young people. Young people, I can't tell you how much this is affecting and shaping you as an individual. Even the young adults that are off in college, and even up into our into the adult age brackets. This is literally touching every point of our lives now, where media is coming in and it's influencing our decisions. It's influencing how we think, and we must look at this from a biblical point of view. And again, there were so many of these things that we could spend a whole service time on, just going through them in detail, as far as the security on the internet, those that would be a predator on the internet, and the ways they try to grab young people. But I think if we look at it from a biblical point of view, and we try to put safeguards up for our children on any type of their media devices, we can do a great deal to limit the ability of the outside world to influence them in ways that we wouldn't desire for it to happen. Can I encourage you, though? If this has already happened for you and you say, my child's already seen something I would rather they not see, they've read something I'd rather them not read, don't give up hope. Don't throw in the towel and say, well, it's too late for my child. It's not. The safeguards can still go in place. We would love to talk to them if they're struggling with it. Pastor and I would both welcome, our office doors would be wide open for someone to come and talk to us through those issues. So let's pray and ask God to encourage each of our hearts on these things. Our Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you again for the Word of God. Lord, the ability you've given us to look through the pages of Scripture to guide our lives in all facets. And Lord, I pray that you would give great wisdom to parents tonight as they make decisions for their children. And Lord, maybe some individuals here tonight are just praying grandparents that are praying for their children that are raising young people in a culture that many of these problems are happening earlier and earlier than they ever have in any generation. Lord, give us all great wisdom as how to deal with it. Help us to draw nigh to you, Lord, that you would guide our every thoughts and our every actions. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.